Chapter 50. Bleria. Parasite. The Pandora is a hive of corridor fighting. A mass exodus flows through the ship. It isn't just Julii's soldiers on the Pandora. It is her entire household from Luna, which she was moving back to Mars. A miniature civilization of cooks, academics, researchers, accountants, and horse trainers floods to the escape pod levels. I watch in wonder as a dozen of the beasts are herded through the corridors by old obsidian women. Fixed Detour took us to her stateroom, where she grabbed a backpack and a more peculiar item, a glossy black globe that contorts over the back of her neck to attach somewhat like a tick or a parasite. I've no idea what it is, but it makes her look like a hunchback. Volga stares at it in awe. Obviously, she's given up the pretense of Fig being our captive, if she let her have that. "Can I have my pistol back now?" Fig asks, as we float upward toward the bridge through a maintenance corridor. "No," Volga says. "It is ours, for damages." "Take as keepers," Fig says, giving the pistol a longing glance. The closer we get to the bridge, the more sounds we hear. Twice, Fig saves us from running straight into one of the roving Eskimani, or whatever they are. We wait in the shadows of an armory amongst dead greys as a pack passes. When we hear them call to each other in joy, we know they've found their next victim. Fig motions us into the hall. It is empty. The gravity reverses as we run, growing lighter and lighter until we reach a security door marked with radioactive symbols. Fig reaches for something on her belt and pulls out a thin plastic container. Inside is a small gelatin disc. She inserts it into her eye. It expands and turns her irises gold. A scanner appears in the door. Blue light flickers over her eye. The door opens. "Redinal Forger," Volga mutters. "This is Julii's personal escape craft." "Does it matter whose it is? Woman's going to pop with a baby yesterday and she's off fighting, the maniac." Volga takes hold of her collar and pushes her through the opening door. It dead ends in a maintenance closet filled with cleaning robots. "Welcome, Madam Barker," a nasty, manly voice says, as Severo Albarka's face appears in a hologram. A reinforced door shields above us. Weapons appear on the walls. Expensive weapons. The Julii's personal stash. Volga looks like she's going to faint from joy. "I don't want an escape craft," she says. "Ha! I told you you'd need one. Now scurry home and we'll hunt whomever you pissed off together." He waves and disappears. The panel on the far side of the room slides back to reveal a dark tube. I shove Volga to make her stop drooling after the guns. "No, no, no," Volga says as Fig heads to the tube. "I go first." "What if the ship is already gone and this leads out into space?" I say. "Let her go first." "Or she could get in and shut us out," Volga says, thinking. "Slag it." I dive into the tube. Its gravity seizes me immediately, hurling me up the chute. It twirls a dozen times. My breath seizes in my chest. Metal whips past. My head grows heavy. Then gravity slows. My stomach whirls at the new sensations. The chute's circular door opens, and I fall into a plush leather chair, safe and sound. That was one hell of a slide. I give a little whoop. I find myself in a lounge, and it is already occupied. More than a dozen heavily armed soul guards and several bloodied golds carrying heavy rifles turn to stare at me. And sitting directly across from me in a leather chair, in green metal armour with a weeping sun on the swollen abdomen, is Victor Albarka. She tilts her beautiful head at me in amusement, and then punches me in the face. Reality returns in stuttering frames. Not again, not again. The cabin is spinning. My stomach lurches. Sunlight rushes through a hole in the hull. Victor stands there, holding on to the wall, firing out of the ship with a huge gun. Something punches 200 miniature holes in the hull. People around me disappear in a red mist. Two tubes shoot out of my chair and jam into my nostrils. Volga wails somewhere behind me. Wind and light. A great huge roar. Victra is gone. Whipped out the hole in the hull. Trees through the windows. Then a hiss as my chair swallows me up in a cocoon of darkness. Thumb! We hit the ground. Rolling, rolling, rolling. A metal spear pierces through the dark cocoon. It stops an eyelash away from puncturing my eyeball. Silence. Oxygen comes through the tubes into my nose. Volga, I murmur. Volga. My arms are pinned to my body by the cocoon. My legs won't budge. I feel some sort of knob by my right hand. I jiggle it to see what it does. A great farting sound releases the liquid from the crash pod, and the darkness around me sags. Light pours in, and I forget to breathe. I'm dangling over the edge of a Martian fjord. The front of the ship is completely gone. In the day's last light, shards of it glint in the water hundreds of metres beneath. The rest of the ship is suspended above me at a straight vertical. It sways with the wind. Bits of body parts and fine china sprinkle down. Bloody damn! The cocoon that saved me was some sort of black gel insulation from the chair itself. The outside of the cocoon looks like a pincushion. It is studded with three shards of metal the size of my legs. One missed piercing my heart by only a centimetre of insulation. A crash harness secures me to the seat and keeps me from falling into the fjord. I can't imagine Julii putting it on me. I reach over the crash pod and grip the armrest before unbuckling the harness. I lurch downward, but manage to pull myself up over the seat. The ship sighs on its rocky perch. The movement upsets a half-pulverized corpse, and it slides from the back of the ship toward me. I duck. It clips my shoulder and nearly takes me down with it. I wince from the pain in my mangled hands and move as carefully as I can. Remains of what were once humans litter the compartment. Volga? Volga? I feel like I'm looking for my sister amongst the corpses again, looking for those blue shoes. Most of the crash pods are eviscerated by metal. Strangers fill them. I'm relieved to not find Victra's other daughters here. Were they on the Pandora? Is their mother now just a wreck of bones on the ground? I've no love for the Julii, but I grow nauseous all the same. I flinch as another crash pod deflates with a hiss. Rigid gel becomes elastic, like a stick of black butter melting, and my friend's face emerges from it. Her eyes wide and terrified as she sees the fjord beneath. She jerks sideways, causing the ship to rock. Volga, don't move! We both freeze until the ship grows still again. Carefully, I pull my way over to her and help her with the crash harness. It takes us nearly 5 minutes to climb up out of the cabin toward the hole in the end of the ship. Once we reach daylight, we're able to slide down the broken wing to the rocky ground below. Volga falls to her knees and kisses the frosted earth. No more ships, she stammers. No more ships. Agreed, I mutter. The top of the fjord is littered with ship parts, and not just ours. The remains of several ripwings burn amongst coarse grass and frozen ponds. A fighter's cockpit has part of an armoured man hanging out. How did he get there? On a hill, at the edge of a forest, Another section of our ship smoulders. Huge clouds consume most of the twilight sky. There's flashes in orbit that I see between their gaps. Where are we? Volga asks. The sun sets behind mountains to the west. An expanse of fjords stretches to the east and north out to sea. I don't know, I say. Maybe the Daedalus Mountains? Or... I search the mountains to the west and see the triple peaks of the Hydra's Neck. I laugh in dismay. We're in the Cimmerian Highlands, far north. These must be the Pyrian Fjords. I look south. A forest stretches across a misty land riddled with more fjords and jagged mounds of rock. Thousands of kilometres from here, the highlands taper away into endless plains and jungle belts. Cimmeria, you are home, Volga says. Home? I shiver as frigid wind sweeps down from the north and cuts through my thin jacket easy as a knife. It is my planet. Yes, I've never even seen snow before, and not a single person I love breathes its air. They are scattered across the system or buried beneath its dirt. It is a lonely feeling. Mars does not feel like home. You need something to wear, Volga says, taking a step toward our ship. Her foot dislodges a rock, which rolls and clicks against another, which rolls against the ship's hull. There's a sigh of metal, and the ship tilts forward, losing its battle against gravity. With a groan, it slips over the edge of the fjord. Volga and I watch it crash into the water far below. Scary, she mutters, and points toward the hillside where the back third of the ship lies in ruins. We will go over there. There may be supplies and people who need help. I follow, but only because I don't have a better idea. By the time we make it to the second crash site, night has come in full, and my Julii-given shoes slosh with freezing water. I can see better in the gloom than Volga, so I lead. The inside of the ship is a slaughterhouse. Dozens of crash pods were skewered with hunks of bent metal. Blood leaks from them to form a soup on the floor that thickens as it cools. There's about squat-all chance anyone lived through this. Still, seems the human thing to look for survivors. I check the back as Volga checks the front of the ship. Each pod I open reveals a new scene to fill my nightmares. By the sixth corpse, I'm right numb and starting to wonder how the hell civilization plods on with all this going on behind the scenes. Is this what war is? It's so bloody jarring. I always thought, by watching the Hollows and the parades, that it was more sophisticated, organised. But it's just so blunt, clumsy even. Is this what my brothers see every day? Even if they come back, is this what's behind their eyes? I keep looking despite the dread, and find a treasure trove of emergency supplies. Medkits, thermals, water packs, survival boxes with a thermal stove and protein cubes. I stack these outside the ship after giving up on finding anyone alive. Then, toward the back of the wreckage, something moves. At first I think it's a rat. Then I see fingers and realise they belong to someone in a half-deflated crash pod. I pull it open. The woman's face is pale. She is unwounded, except for the shard of metal that has nearly sliced her body in two. Fig. Her eyes flutter open. The tracework of her white tattoos is queerly bright in the darkness. She doesn't recognise me. Fig, I say quietly. I touch her hand. It's cold. Oi! Freelancer!
Sir, she says. Thought I'd have more time. It's not fair. I had more to do.
Fig, can you hear me? Might hate her, but hard to hold on to hate for someone who's in two pieces. Fig, it's Lyria, the red.
The red?
Her eyes come into focus. Oh, she says in disappointment.
You. Of course, I don't get a better air.
She snorts. It should have been someone with some skill. A freelancer. Her eyes close. Get the obsidian. Blood bubbles on her lips.
Get the crow.
Frowning, I call for Volga. She doesn't answer.
I feel it unsinking. Moisture wicking off the tendril root. Just like she said.
She's babbling. Seen it before when people go.
Figment said,
she says, talking in the third person now.
Where is the bloody crow? She can use it. With that blue blood, she'll carve an empire.
Just hang on. Help's coming.
Idiot, I escaped. Was going to be the greatest freelancer who ever lived. Still had that bitch Bone Rider to...
Her mouth contorts. Eyes go all crazy. She screams into my face. I rear back, but her hands dig into my wrists with insane strength. She makes a hacking, vomiting sound, like an old engine dying. Her eyes strain from her head. Her body starts to seize and her mouth froths. A lump moves along her face, like a snail trapped beneath the surface. It goes from the top of her nose, swells a nostril, and then it bursts forth. It looks like a tiny metal squid with hundreds of hair-like arms tipped with little fibres. I scream as it springs at my face, but her hands won't.
Let go!
I thrash as the squid thing crawls over my eyes. Intense pressure in my nostril. It's cramming its way into my nasal passage. I struggle to breathe. Then there's pain unlike anything I've ever felt. 100 needles between my brain and my nostril. A cascade of fire on every nerve ending. Raw pain down my spine. Spasms of light explode. Fig becomes a pulsing red thermal monster. Then she goes shock white. I see her bones, her organs, her blood moving through the network of vessels like the map of Hyperion's tramlines, even the food in her belly. A pulse thunders in my brain. Still, Fig has not let me go. The pain comes again like a huge tidal wave, and then it rolls back, leaving my brain leached of sense. When it subsides, I shake in stupid horror. Fig's eyes roll back into her head. A voice comes from her mouth that belongs to no human.
Oh, my mountain hyacinth, what shepherds trod upon you with clumsy rustic foot. Now you are a broken seal, a scarlet stain upon the earth. Figmentum es, figmentum es, figmentum es, figmentum es, figmentum es, figmentum es.
Accolade, sister. You have killed Figment. You are Figment. Do not report for duty, a soft female voice says within my head. My wrath be thine. Then it is quiet, and Fig is dead.